T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs that comes in from Tab. Help me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns, because I don't know it all. So I'd love to have you guys get on the phones with us this morning. 1-800-966-9842 and 522-9842. Feel free to get online. Yes, you can call on the contest line too, even though you're not going to win anything. 800-953-1080. And we'll do our best. So generally, the lines are usually more open in the first hour than the second, so it's a good time to get on. So you guys, you know, you've heard of streaming music, right? That's where you pay for a subscription to connect over the internet to get your music downloaded to you, right? So you're paying for a subscription at $10 a month. Then you're paying for the data coming down to listen to the tune, right? And Spotify is trying to go public, okay? They are going to be selling their – Spotify is a streaming music service you might be aware of. And they're going to go public, and they think that this is a good idea. I'm not sure. I've never made any sense of this approach to music. As far as I'm concerned, the model makes absolutely no sense. And technically, the math makes no sense either, because the boys at Spotify and girls – have lost $1.5 billion last year selling you music. I laugh because, are you kidding me? I mean, radio has figured out how to sell you music. It's free. And it just works, and you get your music, and they have ads. Well, in this case, Spotify is selling you a subscription and still figured out how to lose $1.5 billion. They've got 72 million subscribers, good for you guys, all paying $10, and still... they bring in $4.5 billion in premiums. They make only $500 million in revenue from ad sales, and still manage to lose $1.5 billion. Why is this? Well, because they have to pay the artists for their music, and the artists want to get paid, and basically the artists get about 73% of every subscription. That's a big number. And that leaves only 27% available for poor Spotify to survive on. Same thing with Pandora. They're having issues. They're much smaller. They also are losing money. And again, my point is, one-to-one, when the model is one-to-one, when I have to pay $10 to have a tune streamed down to me, and then I have to pay for the data as well, which is going to be coming, by the way. You're going to be paying by the bit. You know it's coming. You're going to ask yourself, huh, let's see. I wonder if there's a way for me to listen to my music anytime I want, as often as I want, without paying for it more than once. How would I do that? I don't know. CD? Oh, yeah, that works. Buying the tune as an MP3 once? It's only $1. Put it on my MP3 player or whatever you want to put it on. Listen to it as often as you like. You've already paid the artist, which they're due, their money, but you don't have to keep paying for it over and over and over again. And still... Spotify makes it all, brings in all this revenue and manages to lose $1.5 billion. It's the year 2018, and we don't know how to make money in music. Are you kidding me? So basically, the story here at USA Today is: do you stream music? These good times may not last. Frankly, I wouldn't consider it good times to pay $120 a year to listen to music over a stream. I would just buy the tune once. But if you do that and you find it's a good thing, you might find your streaming company's belly up before you know it, because they're not making any money. They're losing their shirts.
Well, where's their money going? I mean,
well, they don't make enough. It costs them too much to deliver you that tune over and over again. Why? Computers are expensive. Bandwidth is expensive. Technology is expensive. Well, here in the radio station, which has been around for 100 plus years, you know what we do? We stick up a big antenna on a mountain and broadcast it to you. I mean, it's not cheap either, but it's not as expensive as doing it the way they're doing it. We still pay ASCAP for every, you know, any tune that goes out, right? So, again, the artist gets paid, but clearly the model for streaming is busted, from what I can tell. In other news, did you hear what's happening with, I like to say this because it's either Jaguar or, as the British call it, Jaguar. So the folks at Jaguar, I'll use the British approach, have this I-Pace that's coming out, and it's going to be a competitor to the Tesla Model X. Now, Jaguar has been building cars for a long time, so it's kind of an exciting thing here to come up with a luxury. Now, they call it luxury because, again, any vehicle you're going to spend $80,000 to $90,000 on, of course, with your $7,000 U.S. taxpayer-paid subsidy for your luxury vehicle off the top, you get that, you know. Jaguar will take advantage of that as well, like Tesla has. But they're going to give you some options rather than just having the one quote-unquote SUV. So it's going to 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. And it's going to start, of course, at $80,000, just like the Model X does. And who knows if you'll be able to park your Jaguar Model X at a Tesla charging station. Or we'll have to stick Jaguar charging stations up, and we'll have to stick, you know, the next ones will be Honda charging stations. Who knows? Hopefully you're able to stick your electric car and plug it into any charging station. I would assume that would be the case, but who knows? But it's kind of neat to see some other competitors coming into the market who actually build cars in a mass scale. Tesla's having a hard time with that. They're more of a boutique shop. So we'll see what happens with that. And I just thought it was neat that it's coming out there. I figured I'd let you guys know. We'll put a link to it. It's a beautiful looking car, and maybe we'll see more on the road soon. Do you have anything, Bob, you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I got a bunch of them here. But let's see. My two articles that are the most interesting to me is Apple plans healthcare clinics as an employee perk.
Their own healthcare.
Their own healthcare. They're going to bring it in-house.
Sure.
So because of the rising cost of healthcare, since the government took it over, they plan to open a number of healthcare centers for its employees surface this week called the AC Wellness Network.
Oh, it's not called Eye Care?
No, AC Wellness Network.
Okay.
The centers offer a unique concierge-like healthcare experience for employees and their dependents, according to a website Apple set up for the initiative.
Nice.
Apple revealed more details about its healthcare venture at the Glassdoor job website.
Wow.
So basically, they're going to set this up, and they're going to find, and they found, as Bloomberg has, that when you're a larger company, you have the power of volume.
Sure.
So they can actually hire doctors.
Well, of course.
And buy the equipment.
Of course.
And run the services themselves and do it as they have and cut the middleman out.
It's the ultimate company store to be indebted to. But yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, a lot of companies that are large or self-insured may as well just hire the doctors and pay them directly.
Like IBM, Intel, all of these really big companies.
Sure.
Will find that providing healthcare directly to their employees is going to save them money.
It could. Sure. Oh, that's great. Great news. In other Bitcoin news, Bob showed me this, and it is kind of funny. Well, not if you're in Iceland. Thieves steal 600 powerful Bitcoin mining computers. So this is a $2 million computer heist out of the placid country of Iceland, where the thieves are hoping to make their fortune in Bitcoin, which is, by the way, fake money. They want to make their fortunes in fake money, stealing actual computers worth $2 million. And we'll see what happens with this. Obviously, if they're found somewhere there in Iceland, they're going to be going to jail for a long time. But
although they got away, they did capture the incident on film.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it says right there in the article. They captured it on film. And here's the thing that bugged me about that article.
Yeah.
Is somebody had these computers, what was it, 600 of them?
Yeah.
In their home.
600 systems in their home.
Yes.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was in there. And I was thinking, well, yeah, okay, he had a security system, But he had it in his home and not in his business. And somebody knew about it because they, they broke in and took them.
That's a lot of machines. And we talked about this on the last show, that where there's shortages of NVIDIA-based processors for video cards and processors in general through Intel and motherboards, because these Bitcoin miners are trying to earn their fortune in fake money. And they're buying up all the equipment. So this poor guy just lost his shirt. I mean, he's not going to be able to make enough Bitcoin now to make up for his loss of $2 million. I wonder how that's going to be insured. I wonder if he had insurance. Probably insurance would cost an arm and a leg on $2 million worth of computers, especially when your security system is so poor.
Well, maybe he ran his business out of his home.
Well, he did. Obviously. Silly. We'll put a link up here for you guys, but it's the nature of the world these days.
Hopefully his insurance, he had enough coverage. $2 million worth.
But you just ask, I mean, really, these thieves are literally going in and stealing equipment to mine fake money. You know, they've decided, you know what, instead of being an honest thief and steal something and sell it again, they're going to steal something to mine fake money.
If they catch
it's
them,
crazy.
Their defense will be, well, we're just fake thieves because we stole us money, these fake computers, so that we could steal
real
fake
computers.
Money.
They're the real computers.
Well, real computers.
We'll put a link up there for you guys. It's from CNET. So, all right, we'll step out for a quick break. You've got enough of the technology news that we found interesting. One line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Steve, John, and Gary, hang on. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I just keep thinking about it. If you've got $2 million actual dollars to spend on 600 computers, I could tell you right now, if you just invested $2 million actual dollars in an actual company, you're without all the – just imagine the power. His power meter on his home must be spinning. It must be red hot because of all the power he's consuming. I mean, I know they're in Iceland, so it's all hydroelectric power, or not geothermal, and it's a little cheaper than the average than here in Connecticut, which is ridiculous. But I mean, come on, $2 million in actual—you've got actual cash to invest, and you're going to do it in fake money?
Well, I'm thinking that he may have had an order for those 600 computers.
So well, maybe he's selling
them. It was inventory.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe you're right.
And then the other thing is, the way they are hoping to catch them is if somebody goes and sets up 600 computers.
Magically.
They're going to watch
the electric grid to see if
there's any spikes in usage.
You're kidding, right?
No.
Oh, you're serious?
The article.
There you go. All right, let's go on to Steve in Winston first for our first call. Hey, Steve, what's up?
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Bob.
Morning.
Good morning.
I kind of like Jaguar.
You like Jaguar? Yeah, me too. I don't have the British accent down. My son could do that, but I'll just say
either.
Jaguar.
And then I was going to say, did you ever get that list of the 50 worst things about the internet?
Did you email it to us?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I did.
Months ago.
Send it again, Steve, to gethelp@tabinc.com. We'll take a look at it. There's only 50?
Yeah, I think Bitcoin should be added on there.
Very definitely. Well, the SEC is going to be going after the Bitcoin folks. So once all the regulation comes in, the whole fake money thing is going to go down.
I think the IRS is going to jump on that bandwagon too.
So
okay,
what's up?
Well, last week you talked about attacking the flu with a special light bulb.
Yeah, there's a light bulb out there, the C-band ultraviolet that they're working on in I think it's Columbia University, where imagine changing your light bulb out and it has C-band of ultraviolet also displaying, and it'll kill, you sneeze on somebody and the virus is killed as it gets to the other guy's nostrils.
I was going to say, in the classic episode of Star Trek, Operation Annihilate, they go through the whole same thing.
Do they really? I'm a Star Trek fan.
It's the one with the pancake creature attaches itself to Spock's back.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. The nervous system gets attacked, and then they determine that with the light can kill it off.
There you go.
And
so maybe this doctor was a Star Trek fan.
Someone was binge-watching it.
That's awesome. No, this guy is I think his name is Brennan. Dr. Brennan is he has dedicated his life to trying to end these infectious type of diseases like this that are communicable in this way, and he's come up with a unique idea, and maybe he was inspired by Star Trek. I have no idea, but it's exciting.
Well, It sounds better than spending $1 billion on a universal vaccine.
I think that doesn't make any sense to spend money on the vaccine if we can solve it this way. Well, and so many people aren't going to take the shot.
We're talking about the government here. I mean, why would we spend a couple million to fix it when we could spend trillions? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not our money. I mean,
trifold.
Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
The little trifold that you see.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I hope the light bulb idea works out, because it seems so amazing if it can work out. It can do a lot. Obviously, we'll become more and more clean, which means we'll be more and more apt to get infected by some sort of superbug. But who knows? I'm sure
and
there's
then
a downside.
One other thing.
Yeah.
About the electrical grid.
Hmm.
I had my radio on, and I fell asleep, and then I woke up, and Coast to Coast was on.
Uh-huh.
And they had this rocket scientist talking about how he wanted to get his thing called the SHIELD Act through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been defeated twice by this one congresswoman in Alaska because she's a supposed never Trumper.
Okay.
And so he says that it would cost $30 billion to upgrade if we were to take on an EMP pulse.
Mm.
And I was wondering, I don't know anything about the electrical grid, but I mean, we're all pretty much dependent on it. And they said that 90% of the U.S. would be wiped out within the first year.
Hmm.
Is that something that we should maybe be focusing on?
Well, we should have been improving our electrical grid from the beginning. I mean,
what exactly is the electrical grid?
Basically all the transmission wires. Your transmission wires, the power stations, the all the systems involved in transmitting power from the power plant to you is the electrical grid, and it has to be balanced. I mean, I'm not an expert in it, but it has to be balanced so you have the power going smoothly throughout the day. There's a base load, and there's all the variable loads coming in from solar and hydro and wind. And
is it something that is fixable?
Well, if you look at Puerto Rico, maybe not. That's their electrical grid is down, and they're taking forever to put the poles back up. And again, it's a system that is antiquated to the point where even the environmentalists are kind of whining about the fact that they can't get windmills up in Maine because you can't get the power transmitted through the rest of the country because the lines haven't been improved. And it's another not in my backyard thing. I mean, we can't even get hydro coming down from Canada because somebody has said not in my backyard through New Hampshire. They don't want the lines coming through them. So for some reason, you know, we have all these great ideas about solar and wind and all that, but nobody wants to put the money and time and effort into improving the quote-unquote grid.
So it's just a wait-and-see thing.
Yeah, and who knows? EMP, I mean, is that real?
You're
listening on Coast to Coast. I'm not sure if it's real or not.
EMPs could really happen. I mean, they've tested it.
Mm, sounds like another Star Trek thing.
All they do is, you could take, South Korea.
South Korea? Oh, they're our friends.
North Korea.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, they may become one country again. Who
That'd
knows?
That'd be great.
Anyway, if they sent something up over the United States
mm-hmm.
and they blew it up, you know,
in the atmosphere in some way?
A certain distance above the atmosphere, the EMP that it creates would knock out the electrical grid for a certain number of miles. I can't remember how much I read it.
Let's hope
but
it doesn't
the point
happen.
Is, you don't actually have to bomb a city.
Right.
All you got to do is blow it up over in the atmosphere and take out the electric grid.
Right.
And then the parts that stop working would overload the parts that do work.
Fun.
Because, you know, they're trying to pump
Sounds like Bob has been listening to the same radio station you have, Steve.
No, I just read about it.
So I don't know. We'll see, Steve. Hopefully everything's going to be fine. But, the electrical grid does need upgrading. We can't get power from point A to point B.
I love your show. It's very educational. And I love how it's based on the computer, as Dr. Strangelove says.
All right. Well, thanks, Steve.
Song.
Take it easy. All right, guys, we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Hopefully there's no EMP between now and then. We have two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we talked about will be posted live by Mike G. You'll go to our Facebook page, our old-fashioned website, and, even on Twitter. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock on this lovely Saturday morning after the nice nor'easter we had. Quite a weird storm. But all is well, I hope, and wherever you are. And let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to John in New Britain next. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was on the computer this morning.
No.
And Don't know what happened. I don't know if I hit a button by accident or what. Mm-hmm. But my touchpad on the laptop stopped working.
Yep.
I have an external mouse, and that plugged that in, and that's fine.
Yep.
But
you didn't
any settings. Try to find anything that don't see. And nope. I'm running a Dell Inspiron 5755 with Windows 10.
Yeah, Windows 10, right? Exactly. Yeah. You didn't do anything wrong, John. Microsoft just updated your computer for you. Happens to me on my machine every now and again, too.
Without me even knowing, huh?
Well, they're helping you out. They're just doing service packs and updates for you there, John. So this is a laptop, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So you can do a couple things that seems to solve the issue, and it's worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
You want to power the device off,
okay,
and then remove the battery.
Okay.
And you want to push the power button with the battery out of there to make sure all power is cleared.
Right.
Then put the battery back in and turn it back on. More than half the time, that'll solve this issue. Something has happened with the communication between the pad and your device. I don't know.
Okay, because, I did reboot it, and I,
that'll not fix it. I'll tell you that, because
right.
I've done all that, too. The only thing that fixes it is what I just described.
The battery and draining it with hitting the power button.
Yep, and you start it back up again. Somehow the device then reports into the computer, and the computer says, oh, there you are. You can also remove, if that doesn't work, you can try uninstalling or removing the touchpad drivers from your machine, shutting it down, turning it back on. Hopefully, it'll go ahead and detect it and install the driver.
I did that.
You did that too. Okay, then that didn't work. So the power, I bet you the power thing will work.
Okay, great. I will try that.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
All right, John.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. It's annoying. Have you seen that before?
What's that?
What he just talked about.
I think so.
Okay.
But, yeah. I missed one key element, though. Was it an HP?
No, I think it was a Dell.
Dell, okay.
Yeah. But it's the same thing that I've seen. I've got to think he's going to have the exact same solution. It's something up with the touchpad and how Windows 10 updates. So.
Yeah, Windows 10 and their hardware updates,
they're helping you out, Bob.
They're giving us work that we don't need.
We're busy enough. Let's go on to Gary in Bloomfield. Hey, Gary.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Got a question on Malwarebytes.
Mm-hmm.
I run it every week before I do a backup.
Okay.
And this past week, it got to the second step. Pre-scan operations, and usually it goes through in a minute or two,
mm-hmm.
and it was up over 30 minutes, and it seemed like it just locked up at that point, and even exonauted the dashboard, I couldn't get it to stop, because the next time I opened up Malwarebytes, it picked up with the clock there saying elapsed time is still running.
Hmm.
So then I went into the Malwarebytes website, and I found the section where it said to stop a scan, you click the button in the lower right corner by the clock, and you can, I forgot the description there, it's the same button I used to remove an external hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it stopped the scan,
mm-hmm.
but now when I try to open up Malwarebytes, it says unable to connect the server.
Oh, okay.
Well, if that's unable to connect to the server, it's having a problem communicating through the network, because the server they're talking about is the server that it downloads the signature files for the malware.
So is that on my machine, or is that at the Malwarebytes?
So
that'd be on Malwarebytes side.
That would be, yes. And you would need to, first thing you want to do is make sure that you can reach the internet.
Yeah, I can.
Because if you can reach the internet and then the software doesn't reach the internet, then it has some sort of a problem, an issue.
It being Malwarebytes.
So the only thing that I could say is you might want to uninstall it and reinstall it at that point. And that may not fix it. And they do have a tool to completely remove Malwarebytes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll take all the registry entries and make sure that it deletes all the files, because a lot of times uninstall leaves files behind, which could be corrupt.
Right.
Okay, is that clean.exe file?
Yes.
And I would find that on Malwarebytes someplace?
Yeah, you can download it as a utility on Malwarebytes, and if you know where to look within the Malwarebytes folder under program files, you might be able to find it in there.
Okay, so I would have it on my machine already?
It could be. Not necessarily.
Yeah. Okay. And Gary, your process of scanning, you don't need to really do that every time. I only use Malwarebytes as a remediation tool if I have a malware issue. And I don't have a malware issue because I use OpenDNS and just a free antivirus program.
Okay, so I use K9 based on what you guys were saying about 2.5-3 years ago when I bought the machine.
Yeah, K9's great. Only drawback of K9 is those logs. Do you clear those logs on a regular basis?
I didn't know I needed to.
It'll slow your system down if you don't, and that's why we stopped recommending it.
Okay, where would I find those on?
You have to log into your K9 configuration.
Okay.
And then there's a log area. It'll actually show you where you've tried to go and where people have tried to go on your computer. And these logs are built up that are kind of massive.
Okay, and so you go in there and delete them?
Yep, you can clear them. It'll improve your internet performance. That's why I really don't recommend it anymore, because I think OpenDNS does a much better job.
Okay, would I be better off than taking K9 off and making the switch?
Yep. Okay. I think you would be. I think OpenDNS is a better security tool, and again, it doesn't produce those logs that K9 does. So,
okay, and if I have, whether it's K9 or DNS in Windows Defender, would I need to have anything else on the system?
Generally, no. I would, if you want to hang on to have Malwarebytes in case you get infected, sure. But you don't need to keep scanning the way you are or having it active. You're going to slow your system down further if you have all three things in place. So I just use it as a remediation tool if, and I say if, something happens on one of the five machines in my home, and it has not happened, period.
Okay, so going back to the Malwarebytes, if I go into the program where Malwarebytes is and look for this clean.exe file, and if I can't find it there,
then you can download.
There's a way I could search the file from the system, isn't there?
Yeah, well, we can also put a link up here how to manually deal with this, as far as write to the article from Malwarebytes as to how to properly use the uninstaller.
Okay, I'll appreciate that if you can put that up.
Of course. Happy to.
And just to follow up, you were talking earlier with someone else about the EMP.
Boy.
Electrical grid.
Yeah, you got to love this coast-to-coast talk. Go ahead.
1962, Honolulu lost their electrical system because of an atomic energy test launched out of Johnson Atoll, and it took out their street lights, microwave towers, television antennas.
Really?
And it disabled one-third of the satellites in orbit.
In 1962, did they have that many satellites? Would they have, like, three up there?
No, I think there were more than three, but...
they took two of them out. The one of them out, yeah.
It was known as Operation Starfish Prime. And it was launched out of Johnston Atoll.
Interesting. So that,
I just thought for...
Yeah, I don't know if we want to continue this line of discussion on our little IT show, because we just get a lot of folks get all nervous and crazy about it. But the practicality of an EMP pulse coming from somebody else, I think, is fairly low. I think we have bigger fish to fry than to worry about that so much. And there's no way for us to spend the money to even harden our grid.
No.
Within the next, the way we spend money inappropriately on government in general, it costs us the most here in Connecticut just to deal with our roads than any other state. We're like the last in the country. Imagine if we had to improve our electrical grid. our electric bills would be $1,000 a month. So unfortunately, because of the way we do things in government, we can't get anything done effectively when it comes to infrastructure.
No.
So we should probably worry about something we can actually do rather than that.
True.
So, all right, Gary.
Okay, thanks a lot for your help.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to step out and take a quick break. Chuck, David, Bill, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And that last caller, we quickly took a look at that whole test that was done back 50 years ago in Hawaii. And he's not kidding. We'll put a Discover magazine link up there for you so you can kind of read more about it. It was called Project Starfish. No mention of satellites being affected, but it did affect 100 streetlights. They had some issues with some radio blackouts. Oh, well, there is a message. There is a note here of satellites. So you can read it for yourself. This is the 50th anniversary of that. So Starfish Prime, they called it. Ah, they were messing with stuff back 50 years ago like that. That's great. Let's go on to Bill in Windsor. Hey, Bill.
Good morning. How are you tonight?
Doing fine. How are you?
Terrific. Thanks. That question, a number of years ago, I had a domain resident, but this was set up for me. My domain name was registered at one company, mm-hmm. but the website and the related emails are being hosted at another site.
Sure, that's not uncommon.
Okay, I was going to ask if that makes sense, or should they all be done at just one at one of these locations?
It's fine to have it registered by one company and hosted by another. The real key, Bill, is to make sure that you are listed as the registrar, so that you own your domain. Some folks have people do it for them. And a lot of those unscrupulous IT companies out there that will say, oh, okay, I'm going to go ahead and register Bill's domain, which is billsgreatcompany.com. And when that IT company registers themselves as the registrar for Bill's IT, billsgreatcompany.com, then when you want to leave that IT company, they say, hey, sorry, Bill, we own the domain to billsgreatcompany.com. You don't. And
no, in this case, I do own it.
That's good, but I'm saying this for everybody else out there, because we were actually part of a court case where an IT company was doing – we took over the service of one other company's IT support, and the old IT company was so spiteful and had done this to this other company that they kept the domain name, and the company suing to get it back lost. The judge said, sorry, this guy is the registrar of your domain name. You have to go and come up with a new one. So be sure you are the registrar of your domain. Make sure you're the master of your domain, as it were.
Okay.
A little Seinfeld reference. But that's important. Otherwise, yep. that's the only thing you have to worry about, Bill. Otherwise, what you're doing is fine.
Okay, now I have three emails set up on that. Mm-hmm. And they're the incoming and outgoing, or mail.myname.net. And everything worked fine until last Wednesday. Then all of a sudden, I can receive, but I can't send. Or maybe I'm sending, but it's not being received at the other end. And I'm not sure who controls this. It's done on Mac Mail, but obviously my internet service is provided by Comcast. So it's unclear to me who's responsible for this, or who I should work with to get this straightened out.
The Mac Mail people.
Okay, people are controlling that.
Yeah, whoever is hosting your email has control over your ability to communicate in with that mail server and communicate out. So they could have changed ports. They could have changed encryption certificates that need to be modified on your end as the user that is causing the issue. So it's Comcast shouldn't have any involvement in causing you trouble.
That's good news, because they're less than a desirable experience calling them. And I have more luck calling with the domain people.
Okay. Yeah, the domain people, whoever's hosting your email, they're the ones that really have the power over your mail coming and going.
Okay, and you introduced or talked a lot about this OpenDNS. My question that I've never actually heard answered, what impact will changing that have on the sites that are hosting a website like this for me? Would that have any impact on that at all if I go change these things?
Ah, great question.
Open DNS?
So no, you'll be fine. You can surf to your heart's content. However, if your host, the hosting company that's putting up billsgreatcompany.com, is inadvertently infected by malicious software, okay? Mm-hmm. And now your customers are going to billsgreatwebsite.com and getting infected by malware. You don't know it, but they are, because your site company doesn't know what they're doing. When you try to go surf to billsgreatcompany.com, guess what will happen? OpenDNS will say, uh-uh, this is a bad site. I'm blocking you. It'll save you from yourself. So you'll be able to surf like normal. But if the site is hosting malicious software, it'll prevent you from going there. That's the whole point. So I highly recommend it for everybody to go and get this in place, and you'll surf a lot safer.
Okay. And one last question. I use everything that I own is Mac. Mm. And I've been, up to date, I have not had any anything like a Norton or anything on it.
Right.
Because I didn't feel I needed it.
Okay.
I'm changing my way of thinking these days.
Good.
And I've looked at a couple. I've looked at Webroot, and I've looked at, what's the other one? Bitdefender?
No, no, it's not Bitdefender. It's something else. Bitdefender is encryption. Okay. Something else. But yeah, we would recommend Webroot.
Webroot, okay. Yep. Okay, thank you very much for your time this morning.
All right, Bill, thank you for calling.
Have a great day.
You too, bye-bye. Yeah, if you didn't get anything out of that conversation other than this, make sure you are the registrar and owner of your domain name, whether you're a business, whether somebody's done it for you, because they may not have done you any favors by making themselves the registrar of your domain name. And if they do that, they own it.
Yeah, they may give you some sort of a line about, well, we'll register it for you and just charge you a monthly fee.
Right.
With a little markup.
Yeah, just make sure you understand if they register it for you that you are listed as the registrar. And we can put a link into our on computertalkwithtab.com so you can actually see if you are. And it's, I think it's called Who Is. And we'll put a link up there for that type of utility. You can go ahead and put your domain in there and see if your company is the registrar of your domain or if somebody else is.
But that information could also be hidden.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah, because you can actually exclude it from people being able to see it.
Well, that'd be bad. I have never heard of that before, but yeah. I hope not. Let's move on to Chuck in Durham. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
My question is less global than the EMP stuff.
Okay.
I have a extension that keeps popping up on my screen. It's called IBM Security Rapport. And I'm wondering, and it's embedded itself in Chrome, I'm wondering if this is legit software or not.
We're checking. It's not like the Colbert Report, is it?
Do you do bank with Webster? Do you bank with Webster?
I do not bank with Webster, but I do online banking with several other banks.
Okay.
And financial institutions. And
yeah.
I'm wondering if when I read it, it sounded like some financial institution.
Yeah, it's an IBM software, and it's designed to be more secure if you do banking business. So it may be something that your bank asked you to install so that you could access your account on
more
their
securely.
Website.
Yeah, so it seems legitimate.
Okay, That's the perfect answer.
glad we could help.
One less worry for the morning.
There you go, Chuck.
Thank you very much, guys. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. All right. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. We have three lines wide open, 1-800-953-1080, 1-800-966-WTIC-522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Everything we've talked about so far has been posted live by Mike G over to our old-fashioned website at computertalkwithtab.com. And you go there, and we'll keep updating it throughout the morning. And then, of course, if you like our Facebook page over at Tab Computer Systems and Mark Zuckerberg deems it worthy, it'll end up in your news feed. And if you follow us on Twitter at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get there as well. I had a creepy thing going on my Facebook page, Bob. I went and I just looked up Blu-ray DVDs. Through Amazon. I was on Amazon's site and looked up the Blu-ray DVD on their site. Secure, encrypted, right? In my Facebook, I get a ad for Blu-ray DVDs, the exact ones that I looked up and put in my shopping cart. I didn't pull a trigger on it with Amazon, but they're obviously sharing back and forth between them.
When I go on Amazon, I get emails with ads for the things that I'm looking
from
at.
From other folks, right?
And not only that, but I get ads trying to sell me things that I've already bought.
I know. It's so annoying. It's just creepy. These companies are all working in cahoots, I think. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online during the news. We'll do our best to help you out with computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.